Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Shay Holbrook from Larson Motorsports Jet Dragster Driver in the IHRA Nitro Jam Drag Racing Series, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the April 16th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be talking Trans Am, IndyCar, Barrett Jackson, a little bit of IHRA, and a whole lot more. For those of you in South Florida and those of you who are fans of the auction circuit, the Barrett Jackson Palm Beach auction kicks off tomorrow at the South Florida Fairgrounds. There are lots of cars of all different varying sizes and descriptions that are going to be auctioned off this year. This will be the second time the Barrett Jackson auction has been on this. Once again, as I was just saying, the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction is taking place this weekend at the South Florida Fairgrounds. For those of you interested, check out Barrett-Jackson.com or check out the race news section at SpeedwayDigest.com. There's been a load of coverage of the event on there this week, including the fact that Herbie the Love Bug was one of the featured cars at the auction. Herbie was set up for the Herbie and Monte Carlo episode, the movie there. It was also raced in vintage racing throughout the years and has been restored to full Hollywood condition. There will also be numerous charity auctions taking place over the next few days there, most of them benefiting various different charities. One of the auction items is a Chevy Chevelle from Tony Stewart's personal collection. It'll be auctioned off to benefit the Daryl Gwynn Foundation. As most of you probably know, Daryl Gwynn, it just celebrated a bittersweet anniversary yesterday. It's his 25th year as being after his accident in England that rendered him unable to walk and with only one fully functioning arm and one partial arm. He's had a quite the recovery. He's made the most of his situation. And he's donated lots of wheelchairs to all different people who are strongly in need of them. So it's a good thing. One of the main things we're going to discuss this evening is the sports car weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. Our guest this evening is Joey McComb, who's one of the competitors in the Trans Am series, which is one of the three different races, I suppose, that were held there. They had the Stockholm Cup, or the Stuttgart Cup, rather, which is a Porsche GT3 Cup series. They also had the SVRA, which is the Sports Car Vintage Racing Association, which sponsored several different events there. It was pretty cool to actually get up close and personal to the Audi that won from 2000 to 2005, won virtually every sports car title you can think of. And it was quite the thing to get that close to it, because if those of you who are sports car fans will know that when the car was competing, you'd never be able to get within probably 200 feet of it when it's sitting in the garage area. But with this, you were able to get right up next to it. It was quite the experience. And for any true racing fan, that really is something that sticks with you. And for Audi engineers, it'd probably be something to make them roll over, because the current owner actually had a coffee cup laying on top of the car. That's just something you don't do with those sort of machines. But it's his car, and he can do whatever the heck he wants to with it, really. But it was impressive to go down there for the sports weekend at the Homestead Miami Speedway. There were all sorts of different events. And unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of people there. The fan support definitely isn't there for the Trans Am Series, at least not in South Florida. I don't know offhand what the support was like at the Daytona International Speedway last year. I know they had a race there in November. They're going to have another one there this year. And if you're curious about the rest of their schedule, you can go to gotransam.com. That's gotransam.com. You can also find them on Twitter at twitter.com/gotransam. But as I said, the fan support was rather disappointing. There were probably less. If there were 1,000 people there, I'd be shocked. I think there were probably less than 500 fans in the speedway there. And for those of you who have been to the Homestead Miami Speedway, you'll know that it is a rather large facility, even though it is only a mile and a half track. They have a quite impressive road course there, and the parking was rather easy to get into, which was amazing. For those of you who have been to the Ford Championship weekend, you'll know that parking there at the Homestead Miami Speedway can sometimes be a little stressful. But for this weekend, it wasn't stressful at all. You just drove right in through the tunnel there at gate 18 and right into the infield, and they have little parking set up there on the grass, and it was pretty cool. They had all sorts of things you can go see. They had you can walk through the paddock area and look at all the different cars from both the Trans Am as well as the SVRA and the Stuttgart Cup. Unfortunately, the Stuttgart Cup consisted of, I think there were less than a dozen cars in the event. Most of the SVRA races consisted of less than 10 cars. There was one race, I think, had six, one that had maybe four, one with three. They had a oval demonstration, which was sort of a qualifying attempt for their main event there at Indianapolis, which I'd advise you to go check out if you're really into historic events. They have a large contingent of former IndyCar stars will be taking part in the IndyCar, or the SVRA event there at Indianapolis in Speedway, Indiana, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The Trans Am race consisted of three different classes. They had the first race was TA2, which had a little less than 40 cars in the field. They were what you consider to be pony cars, which are the Mustangs, the Challenger, and the Camaro. And that was the largest of the fields there. They had all sorts of what looked like to be stronger factory support in that field, especially because of the Dodge connection. For those of you who are fans of the series or remember the last year, the number 11 Dodge was driven by Tommy Kendall, sports car legend, host of various different racing programs over the years. I was informed earlier this week that Wally Dallenbach Jr. had originally scheduled to run the full season in the Trans Am series. I'm not quite sure what the deal with that was, because he definitely wasn't there. Though there were named drivers in the field. For those of you who are sports car fans, you'll recognize the name Tony Ave, who was involved in the racing there. They also had Adam Andretti, whose famous last name every racing fan, and even some people who aren't really racing fans at all, would recognize. Another family that was recognizable there was the Candy family from Daytona. The Candies are, of course, the children of the president of the International Speedway Corporation. And Ben Candy is a regular fixture on the NASCAR circuit. His brother was the one who was competing in the Trans Am race. For those of you who are fans of pure racing, I'd recommend the Trans Am series for you to go check out. It was quite the event. The competition level was high. There was a lot of passing. There was a lot of high speed. There were a few crashes, for I know we've discussed this in the past, but crashing isn't a good thing, but there are a lot of people who enjoy the crashes in auto racing, and there were quite a few of those. I was actually joking a little bit with one of the teams there, that the number 83 car, that actually lost their hood, and they left it sitting there, and I was, for the end of the Trans Am event, I was standing at the end of pit road and looking over at the at the big pile of debris, and I thought for about half a second about asking the corner workers if I could take it home, but then I realized my wife wouldn't be very pleased with me if I brought home a full-size car hood. There were a few people who brought home smaller pieces, and that's great, and that's kind of awesome. I do have a small collection of racing memorabilia, but a car hood would be an interesting thing, but it's not the sort of thing you want to transport into your house, I wouldn't think. But the Trans Am Racing Series has quite a few events scheduled for this year. We were talking briefly with one of the public relations officers there, who was telling about the race they have coming up at Road Atlanta, where they're going to be competing with the Formula Drift Series. They also have racing coming up at Mid-Ohio and at the Lime Rock Park. They have racing coming up later in the season in Daytona International Speedway. They also have a race that's scheduled for New Jersey Motorsports Park, which I've heard was a really good event simply because of the wide variety of different series that were there. Personally, I hope that the race returns to Homestead, Miami next year. It definitely has issues. It definitely needs a lot more promotion. But if you're interested in good racing, good hard racing, amazing automobiles, things that are similar to what you drive on the street, you should check out the Trans Am series by going to their website at gotransam.com or check them out on Twitter at twitter.com/gotransam. For those of you who follow the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder Facebook page at facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder, you'll notice that I had a little bit of a contest going on for Easter, where I was going to give out some coloring books and autographed hero cards I've collected over the past several years. If you haven't checked your other folder for messaging, you might want to do so on Facebook, because I did notify the winners, and I've so far heard from four of them. The four winners that I've heard from so far are Scott Allen, Brian Sawatsky, James Alder, and Tricia Nielsen. There are two more people who I informed were going to win the contest, because I did only have six submissions. I was originally going to give out five. But since I did have the six submissions, I've been feeling generous, and I gave out six prizes. Those prizes will be going in the mail within the next week or so. So watch your mailboxes. I will send another Facebook message as soon as stuff goes in the mail. And for those of you who haven't checked out the page, I'd advise you to check out facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder, or simply search for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I have a lot of information on the page there that details the upcoming guests, past guests, as well as some news about the past guests and about future things that we're going to be covering. I have a lot of things set up for the next few weeks. This week's show kind of came together at the end, but it should work out pretty well with Joey McCollum there of the Trans Am series. Next week we're going to have another full Speedway Digest Thursday Night Nitro episode dedicated to the IHRA Nitro Jam series, which is going to be taking place this weekend as well. They're going to be taking place at in Bradenton, and next weekend they're going to be at the Palm Beach International Raceway. So anybody who's in the Tampa area and interested in racing, I'd advise you to check that out. Go to nitrojam.com or the IHRA website, which I believe is ihra.com, or you can check them out on Facebook as well. And they've got all the information about the different racing that's going on there this weekend. There's also been some stories on SpeedwayDigest.com, again in the racing news section, that gives you information about the different racing that will be taking place this weekend at the Bradenton for the Nitro Jam series. We do have representatives from every class that's going to be on this program next week from the IHRA. We also have a public relations person who will be on the phone as well. We now would like to welcome our co-host, Michael Mullally, to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Oh my gosh, we always do that. You know that?
So I was just talking about the. There we go again. We need that code word that you were talking about.
Yes, we do.
So how are you doing this evening?
I'm not too bad. It's actually pretty warm outside, so I like it. How about yourself?
It's a lot warmer than pretty warm outside here, and it's been a little bit threatening, but summer is here. Apparently, we decided to skip spring here in South Florida and go directly from winter to summer, but that happens sometimes. It's not that bad. As long as you can pretty much set your clock by the fact it's going to rain in the afternoon, and it's going to be 90 degrees. There we go. So you all set to watch the Barrett-Jackson Palm Beach auction this weekend?
You know, I'm not entirely sure if we get the channel or not.
I know in the beginning, for Friday anyway, it's going to be on Discovery. And pretty much everybody gets the Discovery Channel. But the Velocity Channel, I'm not sure about either. Because I know that on the on AT&T U-verse, which I have, I've told you and a few other people beforehand, they have it in HD. I do not have the HD tier of channels, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to see most of the auction, but I will be out there probably a little bit tomorrow, possibly a little bit on Saturday, and most of the day on Sunday. And I'm looking forward to a pretty good show. It should be they've got supposedly a record number of cars, record number of bidders, and it should be interesting.
Are you going to be purchasing a car?
No. Nope. I'm not one of the bidders who signed up. Although sometimes on Fridays they have pretty good deals, but the Saturday and Sunday is when they get up to the $1 million plus things. And I think tomorrow night they'll probably have at least $1 million plus car as well. So that's a few too many cents for me.
Just a few, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just talking briefly about the Trans Am race there at Homestead. It was a really awesome. The fan support was not really awesome. There were probably less than 1,000 people there. If there were 500, I'd be surprised. If there were 1,000, I'd be shocked. But it was a great race, and it needs a lot more support. And that's part of the reason why I'm going to have Joey McComb of the Canada's Best Racing Team, who's going to be on the show this evening, talking about the racing and a little bit more about the series. And hopefully if other people start thinking about and talking about the Trans Am series, it'll pick up its speed again. It'll be the great series it once was.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched a lot of it, but the name definitely does ring a bell.
I think, according to what I saw, they have it on CBS Sports Network now. So that is their only television coverage, though. And they don't cover every race. They just cover them every so often. But they definitely have a lot of named people in there. They've got Tony Ave, who I was just saying is anybody who's ever watched sports car racing or remembers the Trans Am series of years gone by, he'd be a name you recognize. They also have one of the Andretti's who participated. Adam Andretti is in the series there. Shane Lewis, who we talked to on this program about a month ago, he was there for in Robinson Racing. And there's also a person by the last name of Candy, who's Ben Candy's brother, the guy who's in the NASCAR racer, and the son of the owner of the International Speedway Corporation. So a lot of name people, a lot of money being invested, but just not a lot of promotion and definitely not a lot of fans yet.
Yeah, well, maybe this show will get them there.
There we go. You never know. I just send a reminder to our guest, Joey McComb, who happens to have some automotive issues that he's dealing with this evening, so he should be on the line momentarily. Joey McComb is originally from Ajax, Ontario, where he began his racing career at the age of 15, driving four-cylinder cars. In 2007, McComb started racing in the CASCAR series, now known as the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, where he quickly became a fan favorite, recognized for being an accessible and personable driver. In 2013, McComb partnered with Canada's Best Store Fixtures to form Canada's Best Racing Team. McComb finished the 2014 NCATS season 8th in overall point standings, with 5 top 10 finishes. He is known for driving the white and blue Toronto Maple Leafs car.
Canada's Best Racing Team recently expanded operations to the Trans Am Series, with McComb representing the team at a number of races located in the United States during the 2015 season. He will be racing in a newly built Ford Mustang car. When Joey McComb isn't racing tire to tire on hot asphalt, he is also working hard as general manager of the team. He has a passion for environmental sustainability, which grew when he was studying civil engineering at Ryerson University while at the same time pursuing a career in racing. He wanted to combine his two passions and realized that in order to create change in the racing industry, he needed to become a champion from within.
Recognizing that without fans, there wouldn't be racing, Canada's Best Racing Team works hard to foster a relationship with their growing fan base by strategically engaging with fans at races through social media and other communication platforms. CBRT is able to successfully share their messages about important world issues, including sustainability in racing. CBRT's focus is to encourage individuals to engage, participate, and share their experiences with the goal of empowering them to create powerful, positive change. We'd now like to welcome Mr. Joey McComb into the Thunderdome. How are you doing this evening?
Hey there, how are you?
Not too bad. I know you just returned from racing at Homestead Miami Speedway in the Trans Am Series. How did the event go for you and your team?
I think overall it was a great success for us. You know, we've never been to that track before, and you know, going to a big track like Homestead and getting on the banking, being able to do part of the NASCAR track really fitted well with my background of oval racing, and you know, overall, it was just a really cool experience.
What are your goals for the 2015 season?
Well, essentially, we were racing in full-time in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, and we've got a few teams that we'll be focusing on here in Canada, and then we'll also be looking to grow and expand our Trans Am program in the U.S. So, you know, for 2015, we've got a pretty full plate of schedule.
With your interest in environmental awareness, how do you feel about the FIA Formula E Series and the fact that the racing icon Michael Andretti recently stated that it will surpass Formula One as the preeminent racing series in less than 10 years?
You know, I'm really excited about Formula E. Again, I'm going to an event in Chicago with Green Sports, and we actually sit on the same the panel or membership as Andretti Green. So I'm going to get to meet those people of that team at this event, and hopefully maybe, you know, we'll be able to connect and see what we can maybe possibly do with in conjunction with the Formula E. But it's a really exciting time for that, and I do agree, and you know, in 10 years that there'll be more focus on Formula E than there will be Formula One.
What's your favorite racetrack to compete in?
The favorite racetrack up here in Canada, I love Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. It's a really iconic place, and it's so much fun. And as far as the U.S., you know, I'm really looking forward to doing a Daytona in November.
With your participation in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, do you have any hopes to compete in the Sprint Cup sometime in the future?
For me personally, I mean, that would obviously be a dream come true, but I think more realistically, my goals are to, you know, compete in one of the top three series. So, you know, whether it's getting in a truck here in Canada at the Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, which is something that we're working on, or if it's, you know, getting to do the Xfinity Series, I would just love to do one race, you know, in one of those big three series. I think that would be a dream come true for me. But moving forward, I'm going to be starting to be more focused on, you know, the general managing of our Canada's Best Racing Team.
I know in the Trans Am Series race, I was my father and I were both rather disappointed in the fact that there was really very little fan support there, and we were also disappointed in the fact that the Trans Am officials weren't very surprised that there wasn't very much fan support there. What do you think they could do to improve the fan experience and publicize the races?
Well, I think you have to look at the history of the Trans Am series. I did when I was looking at joining the series. It went through a period where it almost didn't exist, and so now it's starting to grow again. And I think it's a really exciting time, and I think that just that message needs to get out there more, that it's starting to grow again, and it's becoming a really fun show to go to. And I think once fans start seeing that, we'll start seeing more fans of the track. And as far as the Trans Am itself and working with the different promoters of the different facilities and racetracks that we go to, I would like to see maybe more participation from the facilities and the groups that we race with in order to just expand that reach out to fans to, let them know that, hey, there's an exciting race in town and, come on out and watch it.
Yeah. What's your most memorable racing moment so far?
Most memorable so far, I think, there's a lot of them, but, I just love racing with, it's a family sport for us. I get to do it with my dad, and our whole team is really just one big family, and, we work together, every single day. And so there's a lot of memorable experiences that happen along the way. I think I look back to, being able to go into the U.S. now. That's always been a huge dream, just to race in the U.S., and now we've done two races at, two really iconic tracks like Sebring and Homestead, and I think, all my most memorable experiences now is my last experience, and, that's sort of what's making racing so special right now for me.
I'd now like to throw it out to Michael Mullally, my co-host in Afraid of Washington, who has a couple of questions for you.
Perfect.
So how much different is the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series compared to, the NASCAR?
So, compared to the NASCAR, Sprint Cup or Xfinity in the U.S.?
Yeah.
So, essentially, the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series was formerly called CASCAR. And so we use the same cars as what we used to use then. But NASCAR has come in and they've made some rule changes, mainly concerning around safety. We race on a very similar tire. Our bodies are a little bit different, and we use different suspension and braking systems. But overall, the cars are somewhat very similar, but they're just less horsepower, less speed, a little bit less speed. We still get up to pretty fast speed, but they're just a little bit less than what you see in the U.S., but still produces some very exciting racing.
Is sponsorship as hard to come by in Canada as it is in the U.S.?
I think sponsorship is hard to come by for any organization, any sports team, any group that's looking for sponsors. It's something that needs to be positioned as a value proposition. You really have to bring something to the table that helps activate the sponsors and the partners that you're working with. So I think sponsorship will always be, a challenge, just, simply because it's marketing, and there's so many people that are after the same marketing dollars that you're after. So competition is very, very stout.
In your opinion, since you have been racing, what has been the most challenging part for you?
The most challenging part is just growing, essentially our team and getting the better equipment in order to, have better results on the racetrack. Racing is such, dependent on, how good your equipment is. So that's always been our challenge, and now that we've, our team is now, growing really fastly, that, we've got the best of the, the equipment that's out there, and we've got the best people working with us, and not only on the mechanic side of racing, but also the marketing side of the business as well. So we're able to you know, offer a lot more services, and we're able to offer, you know, very competitive equipment, you know, not only for myself as a driver, but for our other drivers, too, that are part of our organization.
What's your favorite part about the Trans Am series as opposed to the NASCAR Canadian Tire series?
Well, first of all, the Trans Am series races only on road courses. And what I really love about these cars is that they actually look like, you know, a car that you would go to the dealership and buy. So our Ford Mustang looks, you know, identical to a Ford Mustang. The Camaro looks like a Camaro. The Challenger, you know, looks like a Challenger. And that's what I think makes the racing and these cars so unique to what else is out there. They're also, they've got, you know, they're more set up for road course racing, so they've got better suspension and better braking than our NASCAR Canada cars. So they're a little more fun to drive just because they're made for, you know, road course racing.
Is your goal to compete full-time in the Trans Am series in the future? Are you going to try and split your time between the two of them?
I think I will continue to split my time between the two of them. What we're trying to do with our program is bring new drivers on board and, you know, offer them something that they, you know, couldn't get with any other team, and that's, you know, essentially in the form of top-notch equipment and marketing support in helping their brand grow as well, because, you know, racing is so dependent on the driver's brand and, you know, his ability or his or her ability to drive the car. And so if we can offer top-notch support from the driving aspect and the car's aspect, and also top-notch support from the marketing aspect, then, you know, that's my overall goal for the future, is to be doing that with other drivers. And then as a result, I'll continue to split my time between, you know, when I can get out and race.
Well, we'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to share a little bit about Trans Am and Canada's best racing team, and look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed being on the show tonight, and anytime you want me to pop back on, just let me know, and I'd love to participate.
Well, thank you very much for the offer, and we'll definitely take you up on it in the future. Good luck in the
awesome.
Next race you're in. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Once again, that was Joey McCulta, Jerry McComb, the racer of the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series and the Trans Am Series, also the team manager for Canada's best racing team. Yeah, I really think that you should check out the Trans Am Series. It's pretty awesome now. It was an amazing event. The SVRA races, they had their junction with it, and the Stuttgart Cup, which is our Porsche GT3 Cup thing, they weren't as good. But the Trans Am race was pretty cool.
Trans Am cars, aren't those like, I don't know if you ever played Forza, you know?
I've heard of it, but I've never.
Oh, okay. Well, aren't they kind of like the Forza cars?
Probably, yeah. They're just like you said, the Ford Mustang, well, at least the TA2 class, so the Ford Mustangs, the Dodge Challengers, and the Chevy Camaros. They're just the really sporty looking all American muscle cars.
You know, that makes sense now. You know, you like, I don't know how to say it, like, you know, they have the, oh, just forget it, never mind. But it does make sense now. I do know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. That was I think, the most interesting part of the SVRA race, the first one they had of the day, was the fact that the corner worker had to wake up the fireman in order to put out a fire in the cars. That was pretty bad. Doesn't say a lot for the volunteers who come out for the firemen there, the Miami-Dade Fire Rescue. It was probably the same for the races as well, but it was just pretty bad that they actually had to wake up in order to go put the fire in.
That kind of reminds me of Ifrida. Like, there was this one wreck one time, and they needed an ambulance, and it took the ambulance like a half hour to get there when I know this station is, like, not even a mile from the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if the corner worker hadn't been on the ball, the guy who was probably 100 yards away came running with his fire extinguisher, then there probably wouldn't have been much left of the car. He was running, and he got there, and they put out the fire underneath the hood, and the car rolled away. He probably just needed to do a lot of repairs to his classic Corvette engine, but the outside of the car, okay. Oopsie.
How come the corner worker wasn't there? Was it like break time or something?
Well, they had the one corner worker didn't have a fence between him and the people, and the other ones had a really long. They had to go all the way around the fence and go through the other side to get back to him. So
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the track there, the road course is pretty impressive. When they had the Grand Prix of Miami down there, that was a pretty cool race, and hopefully the Trans Am race takes off. They also had an AMA race down there a few years ago, and it's an amazing facility. It's underused, at least for the road course portion, but it's an amazing facility. So hopefully the Trans Am race takes off, and they have a road course race there that brings in people and fans. And there you go. We were talking with other promoting people who actually suggested they do some sort of tie-in with Fast and Furious. Which would work because they have the bright green Dodge Challenger that races in the series, and Dwayne Johnson has a pretty good connection with South Florida, but that didn't pan out. So you never know. There's always opportunities. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend at Barrett Jackson. It should be pretty cool. I'm also looking forward to next week at the IHRA Nitro Jam at Palm Beach International Raceway. Hopefully the weather holds out for that. They've had some weather issues in the past there. I was lucky enough to get tickets for both Friday and Saturday, so if Friday rains and then Saturday, keep my fingers crossed it's okay, and vice versa. We've got a show lined up next week. We've got at least one representative from every one of the classes that are going to be participating in the IHRA Nitro Jam series there. And this weekend, the IHRA is going to be in Bradenton, which is located close to the Tampa, St. Pete, Tampa Bay area there. So if you're in town for that, go to IHRA.com, check out the information. It should be a great show. They've also got in addition to the Jet Dragsters, they've got a Jet Fire Truck. Speaking about firemen a little bit. They've got a Jet Fire Truck that's going to be going down the track both in Bradenton and in Palm Beach. So, they have a little bit of the irony, the fire truck shooting fire out the back of it.
How ironic.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking about Barrett Jackson, what would be your ultimate car if you saw it come across the auction block that you just had to have?
That is a tough question. Like any car, like street car or
yep.
Like any car. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Wow, that's probably the toughest question I've had all day. I would have to say, probably like, okay, can we do replicas? Like,
sure.
Like a replica. Okay, so then probably a replica of the Koenigsegg from Need for Speed, the movie.
Okay. They actually last year they had a car from the Need for Speed movie that was auctioned off there for just under $1 million. The Ford Mustang from that movie was in there. So
what? That is awesome.
It's a pretty impressive looking car, and I think that it's interesting because in the public relations pieces they've been putting out about it, they kind of skip over that car pretty much because I don't think that very many people went out to see the Need for Speed movie. So they just sort of buried it there in their press release, hidden for nobody to see. But they have had Fast and Furious cars there. They had one there last year. And this year they've got Herbie the Love Bug who'll be out there. So anybody's interested in a fully restored 1960s era Volkswagen Beetle with a high speed motor and pretty much ready to go out racing, then there you go. You can be the person who drives Herbie the Love Bug around the streets. Apparently he was driving around the streets of Palm Beach today. So
what about you? What would your car be?
Good question. They've had some interesting sports cars there that are kind of cool. They had a Russian sports car a couple of years ago whose name I don't remember. They had this year I think their big sports car they've got is Bugatti Veyron, which I think would just be totally impractical, but be the sort of thing you have to have at least once just drive around in it. So, there you go. They have more practical cars too. I suppose you can look at those, but the Veyron would be the one. They sit in the driveway every day, people gaze at, and wonder why in the heck I've got a $200,000 car plus sitting in the driveway. Look at the car and just bid black out. I hear the dog barking in the background there. There's one guy, John Stalupi, who owns a large number of auto dealerships. And the dog is on the car. The dog's not barking, he's not bidding. His dog just loves the cars and picks them out. And if the dog doesn't like it, it's not barking at it. If the dog starts barking, it's a car he has to bid on.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I actually had the opportunity. Go ahead.
No, you're more interesting.
I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to go check out John Stalupi's personal car collection at the Cars of Dreams off of North Lake Boulevard there in Palm Beach Gardens. He only has it open every so often, but it's amazing to go through it. And since I've been through it, he's actually totally sold off his entire collection and replaced it with new to him cars. He had the largest collection of 300s, the Chrysler 300s in the world, and he had a bunch of different NASCAR memorabilia in there. He had a whole setup of a city around the outside, drive-in. And he had the car that Bonnie and Clyde were captured in, that had complete with bullet holes in it.
I wonder if you can find it on the internet.
Yeah, I think so. Go to, I don't remember. I think it's just Cars of Dreams. Yep, carsofdreams.com. That's what it is. Just go there. And he's got a video on there from Sotheby's that has information about his collection and all sorts of stuff. So, carsofdreams.com for your viewing pleasure of one of the largest collections of collector cars in the world.
So if you want to... Sorry for the dogs barking.
That's okay.
They are tamed. And we live on 20 acres, so people like ride their bikes and stuff across the like power lines and stuff. And we have so many dogs that they bark at every little thing. I apologize. Next time I will roll up my windows.
As long as they're friends of the show, we're okay.
Yeah, they just want to be on the show. That's why they're barking.
Exactly. Yeah, just to make an announcement on this evening, we've just lined up for fans of IndyCar. We've got Gabby Chavez who'll be on the program on April 30th in a couple of weeks. He was the Indy Lights champion a couple of years ago. Now he's into the IndyCar series. I didn't see how well he did in New Orleans this past week, but he did okay there in St. Petersburg. The New Orleans race was a little bit of a mess. The weather there was just bad, and every time I checked into it from the race there in Homestead, it was worse. So, but sometimes that happens. Sometimes you end up with a really rainy day at the racetrack, and there's nothing you can do about it. But hopefully the weather improves for the next event. That's all you can do is just can't fight Mother Nature most of the time in auto racing, especially.
Yeah, those are usually sad days.
Mm-hmm. I've been to a few different races where it just suddenly starts pouring rain, and then you have to run for cover somewhere. I was at the Daytona International Speedway for the race there, which was rained out. We ended up sitting in the grandstand for like 8 hours waiting for the rings to announce. Every few hours they come on and say, yep, still working out. Don't leave yet. Yep, still raining. Then we had a race at Gainesville, which I think I mentioned on this program when I was talking to Sean Langdon briefly, and the pouring rain there. And the rainy ones are the memorable ones, apparently, but they're not very much fun for the drivers, and definitely not very much fun for the fans.
Yeah, I remember one race we went to. It was me and my dad and my sister and her husband, and we went to Kent for the NHRA Nationals, and it rained for like a day. We were like, oh my goodness, rain is stupid. But, yeah. And so then they ended up racing Sunday and Monday, and we were like, well, this sucks.
Yeah, it seems sometimes they don't take the fans into account. They take into account the fact they have to get the race over with. I think that's kind of the reason why some of the NASCAR events are going later in the evening now, because they're not as concerned with the fans in the grandstands. They're more concerned with trying to get good ratings. But if you have your race end at 11 o'clock at night and your fan base isn't quite as young as it used to, that's not a thing. And your delusions have to or whatever, and it's just not going to be good for the racing.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't, mind it, when NASCAR goes later. That's because, like you just said, people watch it on TV, but, like, if I was a fan in the stands and, the race didn't get over with, I would probably be irritated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, we've had a really good lineup of guests coming up on the program. Next week we've got a bunch of guests from the IHRA Nitro Jam series. The following week we've got a wide variety of guests on the program. We've got Spencer Piggott is what they've been calling him. I think it's probably the wrong pronunciation of his name, but whatever. Spencer from the the Indy Lights series. Gabby Chavez, that I just mentioned, from IndyCar. Jonathan Bomarito from the Mazda Motorsports IMSA program, as well as Miss Nitrojam will be on to review both the Bradenton and Palm Beach events. So that should be pretty awesome. Then coming up in the in mid-May, we're going to have a program dedicated to the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series, where I've got three different drivers lined up for that. I'm currently communicating with the newly announced Brian Herta Autosports team, the Brian Herta Rallycross, and we're probably going to have one of the owners of that team on the program, probably not Brian Herta himself, because he's going to be dealing with IndyCar issues, but we're also going to have at least one of the racers from there, plus a couple others. We're going to have a representative from probably two representatives from the Light Series of the Global Rallycross, and two representatives from the normal Global Rallycross full series itself. I've also got emails out to a few different people and might end up with a full two-hour-long program for that. And those are always interesting. So, the show is definitely coming together, and it's always interesting to hear from the different drivers and teams' perspective on the current racing economy. Some of them think it's better than others, and some of them don't. So, it all depends. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on Speedway.network, SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. Be sure to check out the racing news section. A lot of that covers the information we've talked about on this show, and I look forward to hearing from you in the future. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next week in the Thunderdome, when we'll be discussing the IHRA with guests from the world of ProMod, Jet Dragster, Nitro Harley, and more. Good night, and thanks for listening.